This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know where I stand. Not that I want the Giants necessarily to take him, and I don't expect them to take him. Sanders at number 3. But at some point, they got to make a decision on the quarterback. If Sanders is not there at number 3, maybe he falls to the Jets at number 7.
Yeah, and if he does, I wouldn't take him. You know, this is not... I think that a lot of people, when they talk about Shedeur Sanders, maybe it's not really clear, like, oh, they don't want him because he's Deion's son, or it's Hollywood, or he's this... I think he's a great kid. I really think he's a good young man. I think he's all ball. I'm not worried about that stuff. I just don't think he's that good. So to me, Sal, you look at this hell ride we've been on with these football teams. I think the biggest issue is that neither team has an identity. All right? Nobody knows who they are. Nobody knows what they're best at. And nobody knows really how they want to play. I think the best thing for both these teams is to pass at Sanders at 3. Even if he's there at 7, pass. Giants go defense. Jets go offensive line, build it the right way.
So here's the problem that I have with that. And I like Sanders maybe more so than you, but for me, it's more about my theory and what I think NFL teams need to do if you don't have a franchise quarterback. And unfortunately, the Jets and Giants are both in that boat,
yep,
where neither has a franchise quarterback. The consensus is Shedeur Sanders is the second best quarterback in the draft. That doesn't mean that the Jets have to like him second best. Maybe they like him more than they like Cam Ward. Who knows? Maybe they don't like him at all. Same thing for the Giants. Just because he's the consensus second best quarterback in the draft doesn't mean that either of those teams individually have to like him. What it does mean is if you are trying to find a franchise quarterback, he will likely be their best option when they draft.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming Cam Ward is off the board at number 1, Shedeur Sanders will likely be the Giants' best option at a franchise quarterback. And if he somehow falls, and I think it's likely the Giants don't take him, and if that is the case, then he likely would fall to the Jets, which is why we could have the conversation for both. If he falls to the Jets, it's very hard... In my mind, similar to what Atlanta did with Penix, it's different because the Jets don't even have a franchise quarterback. It's hard in my mind to justify passing on the potential of a franchise quarterback, whether you don't like him or not. It's hard to justify passing on a player that was ranked that high and is, by consensus, the second best quarterback in the draft.
Listen, I think there was a time where I might agree with that. I think the recent trend of the NFL, whether it's Darnold, whether it's Geno, whether it's Baker Mayfield, you know, who knows what happens with Daniel Jones moving forward? Who knows what happens with Zach moving forward? Kirk Cousins, obviously leaving Washington, putting up big numbers with the Vikings. It's a different way to approach the quarterback market here. It's, you know, there was a point for basically forever where if you had a guy, you didn't let him leave at all. And now I think it's flipping, whether it's a money thing, whether it's just kind of resetting the money thing, or whatever. I think that the way teams now approach the quarterback market, I think it's changed here. And I think if this was the 80s or the 90s or even the early 2000s, I'm probably sitting here saying, yeah, I mean, if the Giants had the kind of season that some people hope that they could, 7 wins, maybe right. A little more competitive, they're not back in this position next year, which means they don't have access to one of the good quarterbacks next year, which means, here we go, punt, punt, punt on the ability to get your hands on a good quarterback. I don't see it that way. I just think that so many good quarterbacks, or at least appealing enough quarterbacks, have shaken free the last couple of years where there's just a different way to accrue talent, and I'm not taking a swing on a guy that I don't think is worth it.
All right, well, let me ask you it this way. From a Jets perspective, let's say that they pass on Shador Sanders. He's there.
Mm-hmm.
How do you envision them getting their franchise quarterback, which they're going to need eventually?
Yeah, well, I've got some hopes that Justin Fields could be good, at least, you know, serviceable. And that's one of the reasons why I think the Jets should really look into the right tackle, Membu, who a brought him up. I didn't really know his name, how to say it, but kid's 6'4", 325. He's always played on the right side. So I think from the Jets' perspective, if Fields was 30, it's a different approach for me. Justin's 25, 26. You got Olu Fashanu. And if you take this kid on the right side, you've got basically 80%, if not an entire line, that's good. And then I look at, okay, how do I think Aaron Glenn's going to want to play? I think Aaron Glenn's going to be old school. I think Aaron Glenn's going to run a lot. I think that's one of the reasons why you're hearing maybe Breece Hall gets dealt. Not that I think he will, but I think they're going to utilize those three running backs that they have. He's already basically said that. I think they're going to try to get their hands on a tight end early. I think they're going to run Justin Fields quite a bit. And I think the way you do that is having an offensive line, much like they did when they brought in obviously those two, Nick Mangold and DeBrickashaw Ferguson. Yeah. That's when the Jets really start to take off. So I'm a believer, and I got away from this philosophy because I fell in love with the notion of the splashy receiver.
Yeah. We had this argument last year.
I still love Neighbors as a star.
No, but I'm even talking about from the Jets perspective. You wanted the tight end, I wanted the offensive lineman.
That's right. It's funny. It was almost flipped from the Giants' perspective. From the Jets, it was different. And I wanted Bowers. And we had a difference there, and I get it. I think that the New York Jets, to me, are not that far away from at least being, relax, I'm not going to say championship, at least being able to run a competitive offense and play the way you have to play to give yourself a chance to win late. But I think you do that with an O-line.
Right, but they could do, understood. I want to build the offensive line too, but if you have the chance to take a franchise quarterback, you can still do everything you're talking about, win some games with Fields and build this thing and then hand it over to somebody. To me, and maybe this is where we disagree, and I was going to ask you the question, to me, Shador Sanders has more upside as a franchise quarterback than Justin Fields. I think it's up for debate. I'm assuming that you think Fields has more upside as a franchise quarterback than Sanders.
No, I actually don't evaluate it that way at all. I would give you the, I'm not going to say I agree, but no, I'm not thinking that way. Like, I don't look at Fields as a 10-year Jet. I look at him as an interesting reclamation project with some good athletic tools where if you put the things around them, which I just
maybe
said.
Maybe they could have some success.
Squeeze a little something out of him.
But then why not take the chance on
I don't think Sanders is that good. It all comes down to that. If I thought Shador Sanders was good, I'd be saying, Jets, do whatever you like, good enough to justify that.
Well, he wouldn't
that.
Be there. If there was talk about him being better, then he wouldn't be there. And by the way, he might not be there.
Well, that's not necessarily true. A lot of guys that are mocked to go to a certain spot wind up dropping and wind up being a lot better, or vice versa. You know, they kind of overlooked and then they shoot up late and they're picked in a spot that's too early that doesn't, you know, justify their talent base. Listen, this is an incredibly inexact science. I'm not professing to be some GM or a scout here. I've watched Sanders. I think he's okay. I'm not going to bore people with what I don't think he's good at.
Right.
But what he's not good at, I think you need to be good at in the NFL. NFL, being on time,
but
small windows, that's the basic
answer. But you trust Glenn and Mugi. We really have no choice but to now.
Blindly, I trust
them,
sure.
And if they said, see, I would feel great that from a Jets perspective, you'd at least have the potential franchise quarterback in the waiting while you try to build this thing the right way. Now, I thought Brian Costello of the Post had an interesting point about the reason why he thinks maybe they shouldn't draft Sanders, or why they wouldn't, is because Glenn has talked about quieting the noise. Well, the last thing drafting Shador Sanders would do would be quieting the noise. However, forget the noise, forget all that. The most valuable thing, the most difficult thing to do in the NFL is find a franchise quarterback. Think about what Howie Roseman has done with the Eagles. When they had Carson Wentz there, coming off a MVP type year, even though they won the Super Bowl with the backup Nick Foles. They just go out there and draft Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, but they didn't take him seven. Took him second round.
Understood, but still, it's a quarterback thing. And if you're looking at, if you're the Jets, so you're saying you'd be better off with a quarterback in the second or third round?
Oh, I'd much rather. I'm not saying I don't want the Jets to take a quarterback at some point, whether it's a Milburn from Bama. Sure, you want to move up round two and round three. Yeah, go for it.
But if Sanders is, there's a reason why Sanders is talked about in the first round.
That doesn't mean people are right. Like, that doesn't mean anything to me. Like, I have learned finally that, and I said this the other day kind of joking, even Mel Kiper doesn't know anything. Like, he really doesn't. Right. He's made a great living on telling us who's going where and who's got this and who doesn't have that and this team needs this. All these guys, honestly, it's empty noise. It is rhetoric that is just espoused and regurgitated over and over and over. And like zombies, we walk the plank and we take
it. But it is more...
I don't think Sanders is that good. Okay. I don't want him on the Jets.
Understood. But it is more likely that you find a quarterback in the first round, especially nowadays where everybody's trying to get the quarterback, than it is finding somebody in the second, third, or fourth round later rounds and turning them into a star franchise quarterback.
The numbers would say that you're probably right, but I think that there's a massive... See, when you take a quarterback in round two, you're not going to attach a bust label on him because the expectation... Like when the Jets took Kellen Clemens, I believe it was round two, we're not sitting here assigning the bust tag to him like we did Zach.
How about Christian Hackenberg?
Well, I mean, listen,
I'm just saying.
I get it, Sal. Yeah. There's a graveyard full of quarterbacks. Oh, this guy's interesting in round three.
Yeah.
That failed. There's also a Hall of Fame, whether it's Joe Montana round four, whether it's Russell Wilson round three or round four, you know, whether it's Jalen Hurts, who's a Super Bowl champion. Oh, yeah, by the way, if his team would have won the previous Super Bowl he was in, he would have been the MVP. That's how well Jalen Hurts played in that Super Bowl. So I think it depends what you're looking for. I think it depends how risk-averse you are. And I think it depends, like, how married are you to the conventional board? I'm not. I don't think Sanders is a difference maker. I'm not taking him.
Also, value, too. When you look at, okay, well, taking him at three is a bigger risk than taking him at seven. If you're at seven, you didn't think you would have a chance to get one of the top quarterbacks in the draft.
Yep.
That, to me, is a value play. And it's a risk worth taking from my perspective to try and hope. I know you personally don't like Sanders as a quarterback.
You just don't like overall? Not even just Sanders? Okay. So philosophically, I still don't agree.
Where do you think Jackson Dart goes, roughly?
I think he's going, I'd say somewhere between maybe 15 and 25.
So it would be a bit of a reach.
That's a guess. He could go earlier. Who knows?
Yeah, let's say Sanders was off the board somehow with the Giants or even the Jets. You don't think the Saints would potentially take Dart there? I guess my point is
that... I think they could. I think they'd be certainly intrigued to do. Yeah.
So my point is, if you want a franchise quarterback... and you identify one, I know you don't like Sanders, but say you love Jackson Dart, then the Jets should be looking to take him at number seven. It doesn't, for me, need to be Sanders. I'm just going based off of the consensus that Sanders is number two. I like a lot of things about Shedeur Sanders. I think he's going to be a pro. I think he's, because of his father, he's not going to be overwhelmed by the situation.
I agree with that. I think it's unfair to the young man to say. I think it's the opposite. I think he's more prepared for the NFL. I don't love his skill, but I don't think he's going to be swimming here like some people think. Well, I think that's ridiculous.
I'd like more athleticism myself. He's a pocket passer, more of that.
But, big.
But he can make some big throws. Either way, I'm taking the risk. If I'm the Jets or the Giants in finding that quarterback. So if you identified, say, Jackson Dart over Shedeur Sanders.
And he's there at seven.
Well.
I'm still going offensive line here. So my philosophy is going to remain what it is. Now, there are certain points. Like if you've got like the 15th or the 18th pick and now it becomes a bit of a luxury and the Jets don't have that. If they trade into that spot, now that's a different thing. See, but again, we'll get these calls here. But philosophically, we also disagree on this. To me, let's take Sanders, literally Shedeur Sanders. All right, some people think or think that he should go number three. Well, in the equation or the situation that he doesn't and he drops to seven, based on the hype that was built around him, in a lot of people's eyes, it's like, wow, I'm getting value. I mean, we thought he was going to go three. Hell, we got a chance to draft him seven or eight. Take him. No. Because if I don't think he's good enough to be the franchise quarterback at three, I don't want him at seven.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. James is in Neptune. What's up, James?
Hi. This goes to yesterday. I almost couldn't sleep thinking about it. Kirk Cousins or Derek Carr, or would you rather have a Garrett or a Parsons on your team? It needs to be a defensive player that is Hall of Fame worthy. Then would you it Carter or Sanders? It's the same question. You take Carter. You don't take Sanders. You can get a Sanders whenever. You can get a Kirk Cousins whenever.
Well, when you're talking about from a Giants perspective?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so when have they gotten where's the franchise quarterback since Eli left?
Well, but there's no other impact.
No, but James, you can't just say you could get one whenever because you can't, and they haven't.
But we just got two, no?
You think Russell Wilson's a franchise quarterback at this point?
No, but I'd rather have a Wilson and a Parsons and a Garrett than a Shador Sanders and a nobody on defense.
I would agree with that. Now, the first part, you lost me a little bit. Thanks for the call there, James. And I'm with you on that, Sal. Like, if it's so easy to find one, we'll go out and find one.
It's not. It's not the most difficult thing. The Commanders had a good team, good players on their team, defensive studs as well. Didn't take off until they found Jaden Daniels.
I mean, it's
all about the franchise quarterback.
It, at the end of the day, it gets to that. Like, that's the final chapter. Now, some people could say it starts with that. I don't believe it starts with that. If I come in and there's an expansion team and somehow somebody, I'm either the owner or I'm the GM, you know what I'm doing? I'm building from the guts out. I know that it's boring. Nobody wants the big 360-pound lineman on draft night trying to squeeze that hat on his head. But guess what? When you're playing on Sunday and you need the yard, you got to push back the pile, jump in the end zone, you know, keep the sticks moving, that's the kind of guy that helps you do it. And conversely, when you've got to stop somebody, line of scrimmage, point of attack, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, you know, massive spot of the game, you know, whether it's a Sam Adams type back in the day, whether it's just a star that is just a difference maker up front as a defensive lineman, those guys help you win. And if anybody knows what the Giants or the Jets' identity is, please tell me. Like, if they had identifiable identities, I might have a different approach. But because the Giants don't have one, although I do believe it's trending defensively, and I think Abdul Carter adds to that, and if and when they take him, now their identity truly becomes defensively driven. And I think the Jets are a great player on the right side. I know it sounds crazy. The Jets' O-line has not been good for a long time. They've got really good players there, starting with Olu Fashanu, who looks like a star. So if I could get a guy on the right side, maybe the Jets' identity becomes the offensive line, and I'm good with that as a start with the new regime.
Understood. The Jets are in a different spot than the Giants. And also, to the caller's last point, right, he said he'd rather have Myles Garrett, Parsons, than he would the quarterback. How did the Browns do last year with Myles Garrett? They were 3-14. How did the Cowboys do with Micah Parsons without Dak Prescott? They were 7-10.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really pushing back on that. There's
the defense
other examples
rest.
Probably to the contrary.
The defense rest. Give me them. Look at the Eagles.
Well, so you tell me there's
look at all the top teams. There's a common theme amongst the top teams in the NFL.
You're talking championship, or you're talking competitive?
I'm talking division winners, competitive.
Can we crawl before we run?
Well,
these teams stink.
I do think it's different for the Jets at this particular point, but still, eventually, to get to the level that you want, you're going to need the franchise quarterback, which to me is worth taking a risk, let's say if one's there at 7, that you like, as opposed to just saying, we're not ready for a quarterback right now. If you find value and you like a player, I'd rather miss on taking that quarterback than I would, I'll be passive and take an O-lineman and worry about the quarterback later.
But if the O-lineman becomes a 7, 8, 9, 10-time Pro Bowler, you still feel that way? Now, there's no guarantees when you call his name either.
I think that there are certain times for it. Like, I wouldn't go nuts screaming the Jets need to take a quarterback right now. All I'm saying is eventually they're going to have to. And who's to say that right now, if Sanders, for example, were to fall to 7, that might not be their best opportunity? We won't know. We can look back on this in 4 or 5 years and be like, they had a chance to take Shador Sanders, and they didn't. And look where they are now, desperately needing a quarterback. Say the same thing about the Giants. Look at the top teams in the NFL. You need a quarterback.
I don't dispute that to win a championship, clearly. But I'm not even thinking championship with the Jets or the Giants. Yeah. I'm just not. I mean, the divisions are too good. They're too far away. Their rosters have been decimated by missed, you know, failed draft picks and sloppy free agent signings. I just want to, and it's the least sexy way to do it. I get it. I got to stock the cupboards with some meat and potatoes here.
More of your calls on the NFL draft. Can't wait. It's almost a week away. Tomorrow will be 1 week from the NFL draft. We'll get to that. We'll get to the Knicks coming up at 11 o'clock. But your call is next, 888-808-1019.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports?
You can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre packs starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
About Shador Sanders, whether it's the Giants, Jets, or really just the theory of taking a quarterback at a, you know, when you have an opportunity to take one, is it worth the risk? For me, it always is worth the risk. I'm not saying that that's, you know, the way you should build a team every single time. And the Jets and Giants certainly in different spots, but it is worth the risk if you have an opportunity to get one. But the Giants are also in a weird spot because they will need a quarterback in this draft. Unlike the Jets, Giants have to get one, right? Whether it's three, whether it's later, and I think it's going to be later.
And you say have to, you mean for the future, because yes. They got two guys who are not very good, but they're not horrendous right
correct.
Now. You're talking about down the road.
I'm talking about franchise quarterback. Yeah. These two guys are not. But they also have to have enough success this year because they're likely not going to take a top guy early, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take one later, and they've already set up the structure, the infrastructure to develop that young quarterback where you're probably not going to see him this year. So to have it all work, right, it checks one box. Okay, satisfy the need for a young potential franchise quarterback. Check. Now they have to go out there and win this year with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and whatever players that they draft and the roster that they have. They have to win enough to have the owner justify keeping Shane and Dable to be around to develop the quarterback that they selected.
Mm.
Otherwise, the quarterback that they select, round one, round two, whatever, he's going to be here with a new regime.
Yep.
Which is also a disaster.
That's the worst thing you could have.
Correct. Which is why we've been saying this consistently. Either they should have cleaned house or just take a young quarterback. See, for me, it was about taking a quarterback. Now you're saying you don't want to force the issue if you don't love one. Understand that side of it. But they've put themselves in a spot where the only way now that it could make success, that it could be successful, is if this regime gets a chance to develop the quarterback that they select. And the only way that that's possible, if they don't take one now to start now, which they're not going to, would be to win enough to keep these guys around and have them see this through 2-3 more years to see if the quarterback that they select this year is the guy.
It's the worst situation you could possibly have, really. I mean, you really think about this. I mean, the contracts, the way they're lined up, the philosophies that don't intersect where they really need to, it's just a mishmash, which is why the Giants are and have been a complete disaster for a very long time. My mindset, my belief is this. I think Abdul Carter is going to be an All-Pro, and I think he's going to be an All-Pro very soon. I'm not overthinking it. I'm taking him. And listen, by the way, Sal, we don't know. I think that there's been some intimation from Mara to Shane and Dable. Hey, I don't need you to win 10. Just show me that we're going in the right direction. And now that's objective. Is it eventually a bottom line number of wins? 7? I don't know. Is it just look different? You know, have a different presentation, a much more competitive team? I think it should be that. And if it is that, I think that there's a way to maybe satisfy both,
right,
where they don't win enough right away, but there's enough progress, and you can still develop the kid down the road.
You're right, because we both said either clean them out now or extend them beyond this year, because that's the only other way. Okay, well, if you're extending them beyond this year, meaning 2-3 more years, then you're trusting them, regardless of the results this year, to find their quarterback and develop them. I think that that would be a way that maybe you... Now, that's a big risk based on what we've seen so far from Shane and Dable, trusting them to select their quarterback, giving them 2-3 more years to develop that quarterback. But at least that would there would be some consistency in that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that we're going to get that, though, if the season goes the way that I would expect it to go, which is not going to be very good with Russell Wilson being the quarterback.
I don't mean this disrespectfully. It is what it is. Right now, I have zero faith that John Mara has a true plan. I think that he's kind of in between several things, and I don't know that he really has a great sense of what he's going to do in terms of the future.
And let's say the Giants select Abdul Carter, let's say they have a really good draft, they get a franchise quarterback potentially in the waiting. How many? You're not going to see him on the field this year, but how many wins do you think they have this year, best case?
That's why I went before, and I think it's more about the presentation and how competitive, but I'll give you a number.
All right, so
tough division, tough, brutal schedule. If you get 7, you should be safe.
Okay, right.
I would think.
Okay, fair enough. 7, safe maybe, and then that's just going to kick the can down the road. Okay, and then next year will finally be, which will be going into year 5 of this regime,
yeah,
will finally be the year you think that we're going to see them with their franchise quarterback that they selected. Year
and
5.
Then, you would think, but then there's also a chance that when they unleash this hypothetical franchise quarterback, he's not good.
Correct.
I mean, so that is a very undesirable situation
right
now. And
then it's going to be, well, we need another year, or is it going to be, okay, well, then that's the end of it. All right. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Frank is in Kings Point. What's up, Frank?
Guys, how are you? Great show as usual, but I have to say, I usually agree with both you guys, or at least one of you, but BT.
Yeah.
Justin Fields stinks, bro. I don't know why everybody's so afraid to come out and say, if he had anything left, Mike Tomlin would have kept him. The guy hasn't had a winning season since he's been in the NFL. He stinks.
Frank,
I don't know where you get off saying, oh, he's a serviceable quarterback. Well, you wouldn't rather have Shedeur Sanders than Justin Fields? You're crazy.
No, not at the price tag, Frank. Frank, think about this. So, number one, the Steelers wanted Justin Fields back. He left, number one. Number two, he played pretty well last year, man. And he's young enough and he's cheap enough where, at the very least, to me, he's interesting. You don't agree?
He played pretty well. He wasn't even the starter.
He had 10 touchdowns and 1 pick, Frank.
Come on.
Jeez, whoa, Frankie boy.
Frank.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Frank, all right, so.
I like the passion there, Frank.
I do, too. I do, too. All right, so, Frank, we know we can't do that, but it's all good. But I think that the Justin Fields situation is very, very interesting. And I'm not overplaying it. I'm not overselling it. Because when you make decisions like this, there's a couple of things that I need to at least know are there for me to at least buy in enough to wrap my mind around it for a year. Okay. Number one, are you still young enough? You're still laughing.
Yeah, it's just great.
Are you still young enough where there's some theoretical upside? Check. Justin right. Fields. Are you athletic enough in the right system to manipulate in space and maybe, you know, make up for a lack of talent maybe in some other spots? For me, the answer is absolutely check. And I think most people who follow Fields in terms of an athlete
right.
would agree. And then the third thing is the contract responsible? And it's an absolute check mark. So let me get this straight. So he's young. He's got some potential upside. He has not played nearly as poorly as some people like Frank make him out to be. And he's not costing you much. I'm cool with that for
right.
a year or two.
But
see where it goes.
But the biggest question is, do you really believe he could be a franchise quarterback? I don't.
And not a franchise, no. Okay. I don't believe he could be a franchise. Franchise Super Bowl, no.
So then that's the point. And maybe it's just unknown versus known. Now, again, you personally, BT, don't love Shedeur Sanders, so you're definitive in that decision. Me, I think it's worth the risk. And if he is there and the Jets hierarchy, meaning Glenn and Muji, like him, then I think it's worth taking a flyer on him because he could be a potential franchise quarterback where the unknown of Sanders, in my mind, is greater than the known of Fields. I like Fields. He cannot throw the football. When you watch him on a consistent basis...
I know. You got to do a lot of play action with him.
It's a big problem. Now, I like his moxie. I like his makeup. I like his attitude where he's got the chip on his shoulder. I'm going to get an opportunity here with the Jets. That's why he wanted to come here and go prove some people wrong. I'm rooting for him. Very likable guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can win you some games. To me, there's a ceiling with Fields.
I agree.
And that's why I think it's worth the risk of taking the franchise quarterback if you feel that you like it. I wouldn't do it just to do it where the Jets are at, but you're at 7.
I understand.
You hope to never be picking that high again.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. I mean, listen, I could already close my eyes and I could see this. So let's say the Jets are down 6 and there's 53 seconds to go. Pick the opponent, pick the venue, road, London, home, what it doesn't matter. And the Jets have a timeout or two, so with proper coaching and proper execution, they could get in the end zone and they could win the game. You're not seeing back shoulder throws. You're not seeing that guy. No, and I know that, and right. I'm okay with that. You're not seeing tight windows with a safety and a linebacker converging and putting on a dot through a keyhole. Not happening.
But you're playing the long game.
That's what I'm doing.
Building it slow.
Correct.
The hard way.
Correct.
The right way.
Correct. Yes, the right way. Now, the right way generally is not very appealing for fans because you don't see a lot of offensive linemen jerseys. Nobody's picking offensive linemen in fantasy football. I don't care about that anymore. I have watched enough
right.
horrendous football, and I've watched enough both the Jets and the Giants getting pushed around at the line of scrimmage that if they don't walk around, if the Giants don't walk away, I want Carter, but even Graham, and the Jets don't get an old lineman, I would be surprised and I would be very disappointed.
I understand what you're saying. It's why I wouldn't go nuts if they don't take a quarterback. I always believe in building it inside out. It's why I hated taking a wide receiver for the Giants last year. They're building outside in. They've done this for years and it doesn't work. Inside out. However, the caveat here is they may be getting a player who many people thought could go number 2, fall to them at number 7, and you at some point they're going to need that franchise quarterback. I think you could still do both. I think you could build inside out and say, hey, we got a chance here to get a franchise quarterback. If he's available, maybe you take him. Obviously, the Jets are in a totally different situation than the Giants. Jim is in Hartford, Connecticut. What's up, Jim?
Hey, I appreciate you taking the call. Listen, two comments. Howie Rosen, if you don't know this, I learned this over a period of time, kind of studying the draft. I'm a diehard Giants fan. I saw Y.A. Tittle. That's how far I go back.
Wow.
Long story short, though. Yeah, wow. That's what I said. I'm still breathing here talking to you.
God bless you, buddy.
Listen, just so you know, I'm a security guard. I'm in Hartford, and I'm watching cars in a small parking lot because, I don't know, last week somebody stole a brand-new Beamer. $125,000 and just took off at 1:30, brazen steel.
What were you napping?
So they hired
what happened? It was hot time for you?
A little snoozing on the job there, Jimmy.
Let me make my point before you hang up on me.
I got you.
Howie Rosen built the Eagles just like you guys were talking about from the inside out. He picks, listen to me, you can go ahead and check this out. We don't have time to talk about it. He picks an offensive and defensive linemen every freaking year. Mm-hmm. And as you well know, the four guys up front did a job on Patrick Mahomes last year. Yep. And I bet you can't, not neither one of them, neither of those four said, my name is Lawrence Taylor. That's my father. They're no-name guys, but they just, if they go down, he's got a player to plug right in, and bang, they're still good to go. And he develops those people year after year, which is why the Eagles are where they are. And no one can tell me that the Eagles are not a, on the roster. I'm talking about if you look at the roster object, I hate the Eagles, but you know what? They're doing the right thing. With the exception of, by the way, with the exception of quarterback, I wouldn't have necessarily, I don't like him, but you know what? They won the game. They won the game.
Jimmy, thanks for the call. You can't be slipping in the Jets need a quarterback because we'll keep you on the line for three more minutes. You're not wrong.
Right.
So to the Giants, I think what the conversation is about is how to most effectively get to that quarterback while still bringing in and bolstering the lines and just the overall talent.
Remember the difference here, too, because my philosophy always is build inside out. However, circumstances dictate things sometimes. The Jets are in year one of a brand new regime. The slate is clean. They have a brand new blank canvas.
And they've got some talent already. It's a good place to be.
So if they happen to have a quarterback that falls to them, they could choose the quarterback if they think it's a good value. If not, they could take whatever player they want. They want to build offensive line, whatever. They have a blank slate here. So it's a different feel than what the Giants are doing going into now year four of Joe Shane and Brian Daboll chasing a quarterback because they haven't been able to. They thought Daniel Jones was it. Wrong. They haven't taken a chance on drafting one. That, to me, has been wrong. And their team has not been very good. So, I mean, I don't know how many years you're just going to wait and say, well, trust that they're building it the right way. Are they building it inside out? No, they're not doing that. I don't know what the Giants are doing. So two very, very different spots here. I'm just saying, overall, the way the NFL has gone, it is worth, to me, taking the risk on getting a quarterback. Obviously, you have to like him, mm-hmm. but if it's a value play, at some point, Giants have to make that decision. Jets have ways to go, but if one falls in their lap at seven, I think it could be an interesting decision. We'll continue the conversation. We come back. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a nice, tidy win. 4-2 win. You know, obviously, Waka, I'm not saying he's a superstar, but he's a good pitcher.
For some reason, he's had, like, Judge's number. He's had the Yankees number.
Well, they talked about that because of the changeup that goes inside to the, he kind of inverts whatever he does with the supinate, pronate, whatever he does. The changeup goes into Judge, and Judge does not handle that well. But Fried was outstanding. You got to love the 4-run sixth inning. Dominguez, a 3-run double. And there were some subtleties in the game that I really liked. Even Austin Wells, this is a little thing. Now, Austin Wells, you look at the box score, hey, he didn't do a ton. He had a walk in that the inning off the lefty, right? And the first two pitches were pretty close to the zone. And that, I'm forgetting the guy's name. He pitched in the playoffs against the Yankees left four times. Whatever it is. He slingshots it a bit, so a little bit. So if you're a lefty.
I thought that last one should have been a strike.
Yeah, you thought it was close.
Pitch.
It was close. It was close. But the way he slingshots it, if you're a lefty, that's kind of hard to hang in there. And I thought Wells showed great maturity by letting two that were kind of close out of the chute ride by. Got the walk, and he scored from first base on a double. He didn't score from first base on a double down the right field line. He scored from first base on Dominguez's double down the left field line. So you add it up. Williams a little cleaner than although he almost gave up a home run to center.
No, but still.
You know, nice to see him with a cut. That's a good win. And then Dominguez the night before with three really good plays in left field.
I think now two nights in a row against a quality team in the Royals. I know they're off to a little bit of a slow start, but they were .500 before they came here. You know, a team that was a playoff team. Obviously, the Yankees faced them last year. But less about the opponent and more about just playing the cleaner, crisper games. The moves that Boone makes to take out Dominguez and put in Grisham, you're seeing how the pieces start to fall into place here. The fact that they get down early in that game, bounce back. Williams, to your point, they're timely hitting, which is something that's been an issue. It wasn't last night all home run or bust. It was timely hitting, good at bats, getting on base. So I think a nice quality back-to-back wins here for the Yanks, starting to play better baseball, maybe the baseball that we, brand of baseball that we expected to see coming into the year.
Yeah, listen, I still think they have some flaws here. I don't think they're suddenly going to, you know, run away with things, but I do like the crisp nature that suddenly entered. Again, a small sample here. Fielding's better last couple of games. Base running a bit better. But and I said this too, like so early in the game before the home run by Kansas City when they jumped on the board early, you got Dominguez at first base. You got a base hit, right? Base hit to right field. We know we could run. There's two outs. It's no score. And you've got Peraza behind him, right? Just send them. Like I think there's and the Yankees. And when we have Boone on again, I'm going to ask him. I need to see or I want to know why the Yankees aren't a little more aggressive putting guys in motion. Volpe can run. Peraza can run. Obviously, Dominguez can run. Bellinger's got to get on base to run, but Bellinger could run. I mean, they've got some speed, and they don't utilize it, and I don't know why, and it's bothering me because that's a facet they have not had many times. They have not had that much, really, in the last 30 years. They got five guys that can run.
I still think it's a small sample size and, you know, circumstances. I'm not saying that one specifically wouldn't have been one last night, but a lot of times, you know, the Yankees power hitters, you don't not looking to run yourself out of an inning.
Yeah,
and,
with Judge.
Maybe these guys aren't getting on enough. The guys who can run, we talk about Volpe and Jazz. I mean, still the on base. Volpe at 324 right now. Jazz at 247. I mean, he's been a home runner strikeout for Jazz. Yeah, so I still think there's circumstance there. The one thing, well, not the one thing that would concern me. One thing that does bother me a little bit, the kid gloves with Dominguez. I get it. I understand it. It seems to be working as we're nurturing him along.
Mm-hmm.
But Boone said it last night. Like, they're developing this guy at the major league level. I don't understand it. Whether it's from the right side of the plate, whether it's in the outfield, it's like, this is the major leagues, not the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
You think nurturing Jason Dominguez and having him learn and grow at the big league level is the best way to go about developing a player?
Well, I think if the player has an immense skill set, I think like he does, he's obviously could run, he's got talent. I think it's a little bit more palatable for me in that situation. Generally, it's not the great recipe. No, you want to get some reps in the minors, come up a little more polished.
Yeah.
But I will say this, you know, you and I went so far as to say, don't even mess around. Just put him in center, put Belly in left. I said this 3 days into spring training games where he's really stabilized himself out there. And, you know, one of the moves that you're talking about last night, and I was disappointed. I got the response after from Boone, so it changed my opinion a little bit. So when he hit the double, he whacked himself in the head, and I guess his eyes contact. Yeah. I thought he may have concussed himself. The contact came flying out, and they took him out. Okay. Is that an excuse? I don't know. Now, it worked out because there was a bullet in the right, not quite straightaway center, a little to the right center gap that Grisham made a beautiful play on. Bellinger was in left field. So immediate dividends. It's like, well, okay, it worked out. But you're going to have to get to a point because if Dominguez keeps hitting and he's starting to hit a little bit, where you're going to want that bat or it's going to come around to his spot in the order. And even though Grisham's hitting, it's more okay than it was last year. I want Dominguez to feel the adulation of the fans when he's having a good night. Like, imagine if the contact doesn't fall out, right?
Right, but I still thought they would get him out on a high note.
You think that they would have pulled him no matter what?
I do.
I agree, but I agree with you, but I don't agree with them doing that.
Right, well, he did explain it. I don't know if it was the John Boy, you know, he does what, Talking Yankees with John Boy and Jake. He's on with them. So he was on before the game. And he was explaining, I think it was there. Maybe I'm getting it mixed up now because I watched that.
It was, because it was definitely yesterday.
But he was explaining why he wouldn't, he's like, oh, well, just because Dominguez makes a nice play doesn't mean I'm going to leave him in, because then if he makes a bad play, then I'm taking him out. Like, they have their plan with him, and it's to have him play the beginning of these games, and then later in the games they're going to replace him for a defensive replacement as they kind of work him in. I forget where exactly he said it, but he explained the thought process.
I heard it.
So it makes sense, meaning that, okay, well, just because he made some nice plays last night, I'm not looking to keep him in and go against your plan, because what happens if he butchers one in left field? Then it's going to be obvious why you took him out. Right now, they're kind of... It is a mental thing, BT. We could minimize it, but it is a part of it.
But scared money don't make money. And I think that you're right when you say that he would have pulled him last night no matter what, independent of the contact. I think that's the wrong move. Imagine how Dominguez would have felt. And they were talking about this on the broadcast. I think O'Neill brought this up, and I was like, yeah, I'm shaking my head. Yep. If he's running out to left field after clearing the bases, all right, it's not the ninth inning of a September game, but, you know, it's higher leverage spot. Yankees trying to get going here a little bit. He's played well the night before. If he would have jogged out to left field, the love that he would have felt, I think that would have emboldened him even more to just keep going. So eventually he's going to make an error. I got news for everybody. So you could try to keep him in bubble wrap for the rest of the season, but eventually he's going to have to be a big boy. And I respectfully disagree with Boone's position on this. I would have run him out there. Now, maybe he would have, okay? We don't know with the contact, but... Yeah. The way they're playing this now, take the training wheels off. Dominguez looks good. He stabilized it. And by the way, confidence goes both ways. So I think the mismanagement of plays in the left field was really a lack of confidence. It shows you the power of the brain. Well, now he's got confidence. Let's see how high the ceiling is. Keep running him out.
But do you really think when you watch Dominguez, even with him making these plays, and some of them are routine, this is the major leagues here, maybe not routine for him, but it should be routine in the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching him, and he's getting the job done, which is nice. I still don't have confidence in him. I'm not looking at a player who I think is a confident fielder, whereas you see Bellinger in the outfield, or obviously Grisham. Those are guys who know what they're doing, and they're going to catch every ball that's hit to them. I'm seeing a player that's still, you know, finding his
choppy
way. Yeah.
Okay, so that's an interesting observation. Now, sometimes I'll see Grisham catch a ball like at his belt, so lackadaisical. I'm like, man,
Belly does that too.
Most of these guys do, except Judge, of course. Judge all buttoned up with the fundamentals, but I mean, best player in baseball.
Yeah,
I mean, go ahead, say what you can say.
I mean, he did drop one in game five of the World. Yeah, right.
So I look at Dominguez, and I'm still trying to decipher. Okay. Is he just a little choppy or mechanical because he's not fully there mentally or even from a transition to left field? Or maybe he's going to be one of these guys who just doesn't look like a fluid great fielder like Hunter Pence.
Well, do you have confidence in him?
I thought he was broken a week in his... Yes, yeah. Do I have confidence?
It's growing.
Do I have confidence he'll make the routine play right now? Yes. Do I want to see more now so that the less-than-routine play becomes a little more routine by the middle of the season? Yeah.
But what happens if it goes the other way?
Then if it goes the other way, which it could, and he melts, then he's not the guy anyway. Like, if his mental toughness is that fragile, then you got a bigger issue.
Right, but they don't want to risk that now when they don't have to.
I understand that. At
some point, you're right, they're going to have to do it.
I'm saying I would. I would say I've seen enough of a shift here that it's no longer an abrupt overreaction, force-feeding. He looks comfortable. He's vibing. You know, obviously good from the left side, big double from the right side, making some plays. Let the kid eat. Run him out there. Let him steal some bags, too. Let's go.
Yeah, I unleash the beast. I just don't think he's there yet, which is odd to see. And by the way, maybe it's about the regular season as well being minimized to a certain extent, so where it used to be less acceptable to have guys learn at the big league level. I hate that when teams do it. The Mets did it for years. I can't stand it. This is the big league. You shouldn't be learning at the big leagues. However, with the less meaningful regular season, the way the sport is,
It's
you could get away with it more often.
It's more of a laboratory that doesn't kill you.
Well, for the greater good, too, with the Yanks, trying to figure out what Dominguez is at the big league level, learning a little bit, kind of nurturing him, working him into an everyday big leaguer and trusting him in the outfield eventually, which is something you're going to have to do because in the postseason, you can't have four DHs. Somebody's going to have, you need his bat in the lineup. He's going to have to play left field in a big spot. You don't want to be taking him out late in these games.
Stan's going to come back. Grisham's, he's earned
Rice,
some at-bats.
Obviously.
We talked about Ben Rice. We talked about that yesterday. Listen, problems, or I should say an abundance of options are obviously good. I'd rather that than no options, try to squeeze blood out of a rock, but I don't think this is going to be simple to navigate. The one thing, it doesn't seem like they're necessarily married to a blueprint with some other things. Like, did you think he was going to keep Fried in the game for a while? When he came out and took the ball, because there was a conversation. Boone waited a good 30 seconds before he went to them. Now, obviously, you're letting the bullpen arms get loose there at that point. But Max Fried said, did you hear what he said? He said,
no.
I got this.
And he still took him out. 94 pitches, though. I wasn't really thinking either way at that point that I would leave him. Like, I just trust the Yankee bullpen. You go on a Weaver there. Not a big deal. It's early in the season.
Yeah.
Postseason, maybe you want to make a difference. I didn't have an issue with him coming out.
Interesting. It would have been one of those moments where, and it could have backfired to the point about Dominguez, but where you're trying to create an identity, and Fried, who's been really good, if he says, I got this, and then Boone's like, you know what? All right, finish the job. Finish the inning, big boy. And he does. It sets things in motion there. But, listen, it worked out. He pitched great.